It's a good morning to come and to worship the Lord. Pray that even as you sang those songs, that you were praying things as well, that the Lord would do those works in us and lead us to that. This is kind of a time of our service where we have opportunities to just kind of do some family business, to kind of share some of the things that are going on around the church. If this is your first time here at Central, I'm super glad that you have joined us this morning. I would ask that at some point, if this is your first time, or maybe it's your second or third, and you've just kind of come and sat and really haven't gotten connected, would love it if you would let us know that you were here. In fact, in your bulletin, there's a little area where you can fill out some information. And I'd love it if you do that for us. That way we can connect with you to help make sure that you're getting plugged into the ministry here at Central Christian Church. Later on in the service, you can drop that in the offering plates, or you can leave it where you are right now, and we'll pick that up later and make sure that we contact you to just kind of help you get connected into the body of Christ. Also, after the service, I'd love to make myself available to talk with you, and so I'll be out of the out in the lobby, right out those main doors at our Info Central booth right after the service, and so just glad that you're here. Like I said, we do have, this is kind of a time for us to kind of share a little bit about what's going on. You may have noticed as you walked into the space, maybe this week or last week, the big boxes that are kind of scattered throughout our lobby and in our entrances that say Cake News, Coat Drive. Just want to let you know a little bit about what those are. Essentially, that's just we're partnering as a church that wants to reach out into the community with Cake to help provide coats for those that are in need. As you know, and as we've all felt this week, it's getting cold. And there are some who don't have the opportunity to just go into their closets and pick up coats. And there are some who don't have the opportunity to just be able to go to the store and purchase a coat. And so just encourage you that as you are getting ready for the cold to hit, and as you go into your closets and start looking at coats, if there's some stuff there that you don't want to use but still in good shape, please bring that, throw that in those boxes. That way we can get that to people that are going to need that. So just an opportunity for us to reach out into the community. Also, if you haven't been around Central for very long, one of the things we love to do is just celebrate new parents. And so we have this thing called child parent dedication. This is not something that we do because we believe it saves kids. It's not that at all. But it's an opportunity for us as parents and for the church to commit together to help pray over these children. And so if you haven't been a part of our children parent dedication over the past few months, we did a few months ago, and you've had a child, you've adopted a child, or maybe you're new to Central and you would love to have this opportunity, we've got two classes coming up, one on the 20th of October and one on the 22nd of October. And if you want more information about what that looks like, you can talk to Vicky, our director of children's ministries. She's hanging out after the services afterwards at the children's check-in, as well as at that kind of Info Central area. So we would love to help you get plugged into that if you haven't done that before. It's just a great, fun celebration time and a time for us to pray over those kids as a body of Christ. Now I want to share something a little bit. Some of you are going to care deeply about what I'm going to share, and some of you won't care at all. All right, which makes it really exciting to share an announcement, right? But one of the things that we have done as a church, as a leadership, is we've committed to you to try to be transparent and try to give kind of an update every once in a while in regards to where we are financially. And so we've just committed that as a church, we're going to do that once a quarter. So once every 3 months, just kind of tell you where we are. And so that's this week. And so just real quickly, and I promise I won't take a ton of time, but we have provided information available to you if you want it. If you want a print copy, it's a print copy available at our Info Central booth right out these main doors, as I mentioned already multiple times. You can also scan the QR code that's in the bulletin underneath the sermon notes, and you can see an electronic copy if you're interested in that. But we just want to kind of share a little bit about what's going on around the church and celebrate some of those things. And so you'll see some things that we're celebrating, just the life around the church. As you know, we started school recently, which means that in this building, Monday through Friday, just from CCAP to the high school, we've got over 600 kids that are learning about Jesus and hearing the gospel of Jesus all the time, which is just awesome, right? It's a part of the ministry of this church. And so super exciting. That doesn't include the kids that are in our Joyful Noise Academy, those that are in daycare. They're hearing about the gospel as well. We've had servants step up. We've had an average of 325 people serve in the church in the first 3 months of this quarter. Our Gospel Life Encounter, which is those classes that I hope you're going to. If you aren't yet, check those out. These are kind of our Sunday school classes, if you will, that we do each Sunday morning from 9:45 to 10:45. We've had an average attendance of around 1,200 in those, which is just a great thing as we continue to seek to connect people. City engagement, we've had people stepping up to help in our homeless ministry, foster and orphan care. Missionally, we serve and work with around 29 countries. Many of those stories you've heard in the missions weekend. We've got local ministries, around 19 that we partner with. From a financial perspective, we've been able to give around $4,000 to relief, as well as to ministries, to some Muslim ministry that's going on in Europe. So just a lot of stuff going on. His Helping Hands, these numbers don't represent this quarter, but the whole year. If you know, churches, our fiscal year is from June to July. But in this year, so since this January of this year, we've served over 67,000 families through His Helping Hands ministry, which is just fantastic. We've seen over 165 people come to salvation through that ministry this year alone. So yeah, absolutely, God is doing tremendous work here at the church, and just wanted to let you know some of those things because you don't always get to. And then just from a financial perspective, you guys can see a little bit of how our finances are being spent in the first quarter. You can see that the $207,000 has been spent on ministry. That's really, really direct ministry. So this is missions, this is outreach, benevolence, care, resources. This is direct ministry. The second number there, the $288,000, that's ministry services. So I'm not going to belabor this, but basically what that means is what it takes to run this building. It takes money to keep lights on. It takes money to pay facilities, to make sure that this building is taken care of well. And again, this building is ministry, right? We have funerals and weddings and homeschool associations and Bible studies and conferences. And so that's a huge opportunity for us to reach into our community. And then finally, personnel, $782,000 in regards to personnel. And that's everything from pastors to people who run finances for our counseling center and our school and His Helping Hands and all of those things. And so I just want to give you that snapshot. And then finally, just kind of run through these last three bullet points here. You can see that our current budget, we anticipated to have $105,000 more given than we have. And so we've tried to match expenses to that. And so we've actually lowered our expenses by about 5%. Basically, what that means to you and why that might matter is that we have a current shortfall of $35,000 in regards to our budget. And so simply, here's the deal. We aren't panicking about that. And so it's something that we always are moving expenses around to meet that. But nonetheless, what I do want to say is that if you are part of this church and you are excited about the vision of where we're going and where God is taking us as a church, and you haven't yet stepped into partnering with us in terms of ministry, we'd really call you and encourage you to pray and see what the Lord might be leading you to participate in regards to the ministry of the church here at Central. One of the things that's awesome is that today we get to not just talk about that ministry, but we get to put a face on that ministry. And so before we jump into the sermon, I want to just introduce you to a couple of brothers. If you guys would go ahead and stand up, this is Aesop and Benny. And these two gentlemen are from India. Yeah. And if you've been around Central, you know that we have long supported a wonderful ministry in India called the India Gospel League, which literally plants thousands of churches through India and sends out all kinds of pastors to plant churches and share the gospel. And these guys are here with, I think, three others that are here to just grow and to learn and to get some more discipleship. And so these brothers and the work that they're doing is being supported by this ministry and by this work of this church. And so we're going to pray over them here in just a moment and just to ask the Lord would bless them and the work that God is doing through IGL as they are taking the gospel of people who have literally never even heard the name of Jesus. Like, that's awesome that we get to participate in that. But before I pray over Aesop and Benny, I want to also say this, and this isn't quite as good news, but how many of you were here during our missions weekend when Doug Lucas spoke? Most of us were, I think. Doug mentioned, if you remember, a ministry in East Africa where they were wanting to plant or see several teams, seven actually is what they actually prayed for one and ended up with seven teams to do a work in East Africa to plant churches and see disciples come to faith. I want to tell you, so we can continue to pray for them, there was a group of those teams was in Ethiopia doing some training, and there was a bus accident. And three of them lost their lives. Four were injured seriously. Doug is actually on a plane on his way to Ethiopia to minister to those families and to care for them. And I just want to enter into that as well and pray for those families. And yet at the same time, be reminded that that didn't surprise the Lord, did it? And the Lord is able to continue to work in that situation and to use that even for the furthering of his kingdom and his gospel. And while that is a tragedy to us, it is not a tragedy to those men, amen? Because who are they with? They're with the Father. And so we celebrate that, but we also grieve understanding that there's a lot of loss in the lives of those. But I just wanna pray for that ministry as well as for Benny and Aesop real quick. So if you would, maybe just reach your hand out towards our brothers here and join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for these two men who have so faithfully given themselves and their families to serve you. Father, they're passionate about the gospel and taking the name of Jesus to those who don't know him. And Father, not just them, but so many others that are a part of the India Gospel League. And Lord, I'm gonna just pray a blessing upon them, pray a blessing upon their time here, that Lord, you would just use it to further equip them to do the work of ministry that you have called them to do. Father, I wanna pray that you would just use them in mighty way to continue to bear fruit for your kingdom, Lord. Father, I wanna pray for our brothers in Africa. Father, for the families of those that have lost their lives. Father, we pray that you would just comfort them. Pray that you would give Doug words to speak and just help him to step with those families and encourage them and comfort their hearts. Pray, Father, for the ministry and the work. We know that nothing can thwart what you planned for that area. And so we pray that even as our brothers have fallen asleep and now they are in the presence of you, that you would even use that and you would turn it to your glory and that you would use it to exalt your name, that much fruit would come out of the ministry that we know you still have planned. And Father, just pray that you would bind the enemy from his desire to cause discouragement or frustration. So Father, we just ask that you would continue to allow us to be a part and a partner with gospel-centered ministries all over this world as we, the church, pray and see your kingdom come in the lives of people. And so, Father, we pray a blessing. We pray comfort this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. We are going to do a sermon today. So now, if you would, please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Alicia, if you would come on up, and Alicia's going to be reading for us out of Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. And so, Alicia.
Good morning, church family. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Church, hear the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Alicia. You may be seated. Pray with me. Father, we're so grateful that you have given us your word, and even as we've prayed this morning and we recognize that it is your word that goes forth into this world and brings light to those in darkness, that that brings life where there is death. And so we are so grateful for that. We are grateful for the reality that we can come here this morning in freedom to hear your word proclaimed. And Father, we just ask that for us as your people, that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to the movement of the Spirit in us, that as we talk through these things and as we discuss these things, that you would lead us as your people and equip us through the work of ministry that you have called us to as your people. And so we just ask for your blessing, ask for your favor upon it this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So if you were here with us last week, we started into this kind of three-week sermon series in the midst of this series on Luke, on the Beatitudes. And we talked last week about this first blessed or this first kind of happy are those. And last week when we talked about happy are those who are poor, or blessed are those who are poor. And then this week we jump into the idea of blessed are those who are hungry. Now, who doesn't want to be blessed? I think we all do. At least I hope we all want to be blessed. And here in this text, we are immediately confronted with this reality that if you want to be blessed, what do you need to be? Hungry. All right. So we need to be hungry. We need to be hungry people. Now, here's the thing, and I don't want to be fair when we come to a text like this, as I always do, that when we as Christians come to a text like this, sometimes we hear this differently than someone who maybe hasn't had a lot of connection with the church. So just put yourself, for example, in the position of someone who's never heard this before, and Jesus comes up and says, "Blessed are you who are hungry." Now, what is he saying? Is he saying that all of us should desire to starve? I don't think so. I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. I don't think he's talking about that it's a good thing for us to be hungry physically, but he does use this analogy of hunger. And I think he used this as an analogy of hunger because the reality of physical hunger does give us insight into a spiritual hunger, which is what I think Jesus is actually talking about. And so let's talk just a little bit about physical hunger. What is physical hunger? Now, the reality of it is very few of us, if any in this room, and I don't want to say nobody, but I would say the vast majority of us in this space have never experienced real concern for whether or not we were going to have enough food on our plate. Like, we've not really lived underneath the shadow of starvation, where we didn't know whether there was going to be enough. And so this idea of hunger feels like a distant idea for us. It's not something we think a lot about. Most of us don't think about our hunger until about 11, well, maybe right now, right? Because we're getting close to noon. But unless you're hungry, you don't really think about it. Okay, so we don't really think a lot about hunger, but yet it's something that we all have, don't we? Like, we all have hunger. It's the way we're made. God made us to be hungry people. Now just think about that, because he didn't have to make us to be hungry people. Like, we have to have sustenance to live that comes from outside of us into our mouths to keep us alive and healthy, don't we? God didn't have to make us that way. Like, we could be like the plants and we could walk outside and just enjoy the sun, except for in the winter when there isn't any, right? And we could just get all the sustenance we need, but God didn't make us that way. God intended for us as his people to need and be dependent upon something outside of us for life. So the fact of the matter is, we are all have hunger. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we what we fill ourselves with ultimately is the question, isn't it? Like, the same thing is true about our spiritual hunger. Like, we all have a hunger spiritually. Question is, will you recognize your spiritual hunger? And then the second question is, what are you going to fill yourself up with spiritually? Because I think the fact of the matter is, we're all seeking to fill ourselves up with something. Just like physically, we all want to fill ourselves up with something. An analogy that I'm gonna carry on through our series, or through this sermon, I wanna share with you just a story. It was my second time I had an opportunity to visit the country of Haiti. And it was not too long after the big earthquake that happened. And we were traveling through, seeing all the different ministries there in Haiti, and actually went from Port-au-Prince all the way up into Cape Haitien. So we were up into the mountains. Really fun, interesting time. But I remember we were up in the mountains in the rural areas, and I saw, really for the first time since I had been in Haiti, kind of an industrial thing happening. And I was like, hey, like, what's going on here? I asked our Haitian guy, the guy that was there showing us the different ministries, said, what's going on? And he said, oh, well, they're mining. And I'm like, well, what are they mining? He's like, well, they're mining dirt. I was like, what do you mean they're mining dirt? And literally they were filling bags of dirt up, putting them in cars, and then shipping them down to Port-au-Prince to sell. And I said, why are they selling bags of dirt? Is it for construction? He's like, no. Like, they take it down there, and then the people, they buy the bags, and then the women, they add water and maybe some salt, and they make cookies out of them and then sell them to people to eat. And I was like, wait a minute. People are actually eating dirt cookies. And he's like, yeah, that's what they do. And I was like, does this have some kind of nutritional value that I'm not aware of? And he said, no, not at all. He's like, in fact, they only do it because they want to fill their stomachs because they're so hungry. And because they believe that there's some nutritional value in it, he says, the fact of the matter is it actually makes them sick. It doesn't make them as sick as it would make you, but it makes them sick and ultimately just increases their malnourishment and they'll ultimately die from it. And if you want to see this, you can even go on and Google dirt cookies online, and you can literally see what they look like. They sell these for like 5 cents to people. Now, here's my point. The people were hungry, and they are filling themselves up with something. But that thing they are filling themselves up with will ultimately kill them. Now, here's the deal. For us, spiritually, we too are all hungry. But what are we hungry for? Well, Matthew 5, another version of the Beatitudes, gives us an understanding. Matthew 5, verse 6 says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. This is what we need. We need righteousness. See, the people in Haiti say all that they have need for, what they think they're being sustained with, isn't actually what they need. See, we all have in us a hunger, and we all are trying to fill it with something. The real hunger for us all, what we all need that needs to come from outside of us into us, is righteousness. Because this is the one thing none of us have in and of ourselves. It's the one thing none of us can get in and of ourselves. Romans 3 puts it this way: as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, and no one seeks God. None of us do. We all hunger. We all hunger for righteousness. We need it. Ultimately, we need a righteousness that is not of our own. I want to pause for a minute because I want to explain righteousness, and I want to explain righteousness that is not our own. Now, for Christians, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ in this room, at some point, you've come to the realization that you are in need of something, and you've come to Jesus for it. So you have some understanding of what righteousness is. And so I don't want you to check out as we talk about righteousness thinking you've got that. But I do want to take a moment, and I want to talk to maybe those in this room that don't know Jesus. And you don't understand what this righteousness is. And you go, man, I don't really understand why it's important. And I don't really even understand what righteousness in terms of its definition is. I want to talk to you for a minute. And for Christians in the room that understands it, maybe this will help you be able to explain it to other people who don't understand it. So what is righteousness and why do we need it? Righteousness is simply this. It is a rightness, a standing, a right standing before God. It is a rightness in our hearts, our actions, our thoughts, our motivations, in all of our lives. It means that we walk fully and rightly in all of his ways. All of his ways. See, righteousness isn't about a list of rules that God made up just to make our lives miserable. Right? Like, God made this world. If you believe that there is a God and you believe that God created everything, he created the world, he created the universe, and he created us to live in it, then you believe that he intended it to be and to function in a certain way, right? That's his design. That's the way we talked about this before in this place. Righteousness is walking in accordance with that design. When we step out of that, we find death. We find hurt. We find not flourishing, but brokenness. So let me give you a picture, just a very visual picture. A fish. I promise it'll make sense. Think of a fish. What was a fish made to do? Swim. A fish lives in the water. A fish eats in the water. A fish breathes water, right? He uses his gills as he moves through, and he is designed to function in water. Okay? That's what he was made to do. He's even, his body is shaped like that. That's why he is made. Okay, we are like a fish who says to God, no. I'm not going to live in the water. I don't want to be a fish. I want to live on the beach, and I'm going to jump out of that water and lay on the beach. Right? That is what we are all do. We say we're not going to live rightly. We don't want to flourish. We don't even know how to flourish. We're going to live on the beach. You know what our lives are? Our lives, get this visual picture, is that fish flopping around on the hot sand, thinking he's found life, convincing himself that he's enjoying the sun beating down upon his scales, convincing himself that he enjoys the wind blowing his fins. And while he's gasping for air, he is pretending that that's not because he's dying. See, we all walk outside of God's intent for our lives. All of us do. And what we all need desperately is to be put back into the ocean. But the fact of the matter is, none of us have this righteousness in us. When God looks at us, he sees us initially as a people who have said, no, I won't live in the ocean. But here comes the good news. There is a righteousness that we can have that is not ours. Amen? This righteousness comes from Christ, the one who did walk in the ways of God, the one who did walk in the flourishing that God intended, the one that did walk with and in the presence of God. And it is him who died for us that we might be granted righteousness. If you don't know Jesus, you should be hungering for that righteousness. You should be longing for it because there's no other way to find it. You won't find it in religion. You won't find it in coming to church. You won't find it in being good people. You cannot find righteousness anywhere outside of Jesus. Now, for those of us who are believers and we understand this, does this text hold nothing for us? Like, oh, okay, like I understand, like I need righteousness that comes outside of me and I'm hungry for the righteousness that comes only from Christ. So do I not need to hunger anymore? No, this text is for us as well, because we, as believers, we need to not just hunger. We've now been filled with righteousness and satisfied with righteousness of Christ, but now we are called to live rightly, or we are called to hunger for a right kind of living. Listen, we cannot hunger for Christ's righteousness and not want right living. This is faith and works. God has called us to live a life of flourishing. He has called us to step back into his design, to find out what it means to really be the fish and swim in the water and enjoy that. Isaiah 55 puts it this way. It's a text we read a lot. It's one I hope we memorize one day. Verses 1-2. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Christian, you should hunger for righteousness. And where does that food come from? Listening to him. It doesn't come anywhere else. It only comes from listening to him. And here's the thing for us as believers in Jesus Christ, and I think it's a struggle. It's the, okay, I want the righteousness of Christ for salvation, and I kind of want to hunger for right living and walking rightly in the way of the Lord, but I just don't. Does anybody else feel that way sometimes? Like I just don't really hunger to actually walk rightly. So how do I fix that? How do I step outside of that? How do I begin to hunger to walk in obedience to Christ? How do I begin to want to do those things? Well, let's go back to physical hunger for a second. How many of you are completely satisfied and think that what you ingest into your body physically is the perfect and right kind of food? No hands. Why? You know what to eat. Fish, green beans, I don't know, like organic food. Why don't you? Why don't you? Because you don't have a hunger for it. You know what I have a hunger for? Cookies. Right? Ice cream. Like fast food, grease, fried stuff. Man, that stuff is good. Like, so here's the deal. You can come to a place where you intellectually understand, like, I hunger for this stuff over here, but I should hunger for this stuff over here. I should hunger for fruits and vegetables and organic food and good things, but I don't. What do? You just give up? So here's what you do. And we all know this to be true. And if you listen to any nutritionist, this is what you're gonna find. That if you choose that you want to hunger for the good, you know what you have to do? Stop eating the bad. You stop eating the bad stuff and you replace it with the good. And guess what? That's hard. Because when you look at the first time your spouse makes that meal for you and it's like green beans and a little bit of mashed potatoes and some fish and you go, where's my fried chicken? Like you want something else. Like when you get to that moment, like what do? Here's what you do, you eat it. And what happens is you over time is that your hunger changes, doesn't it? Like over time, your appetite for the good grows. And what happens is after a while, the cookies no longer have an appeal. I'm not quite there. But isn't this the walk we all have? Like we wanna hunger for righteousness. We wanna hunger for right things. We wanna hunger for walking the way God has, but we find ourselves really wanting this over here. So how do we change it? Well, you use the physical as a means to help us understand the spiritual. You start not eating those things and eating these things all the while you ask the Lord, give me a hunger for righteousness. Give me a hunger for righteousness. So let's just be practical. Instead of filling your stomachs with the dirt of getting up in the morning and the first thing that you do is look at social media and reading the news, what about filling your stomachs with the Word of God? That may not feel good at first, but you know what it'll do? It'll whet your appetite. What if maybe instead of eating the food and the dirt of entertaining yourself with countless TV shows and movies, what if you actually started to pray and listen to sermons and serve people? That may not feel good initially, but you know what it'll do? It'll whet your appetite. And you'll begin to hunger, and the Lord can begin to change your hunger. What if, instead of yelling at your spouse, which is what feels good sometimes, and eating the dirt of getting that and having that freedom, you actually loved them well, and you actually died to yourself? So you will whet your appetite. When I think about this just real practically, it may sound silly, but I genuinely believe in my flesh that how to find rest in my home is to have everything in perfect order, all right? Like everything in perfect order, like nothing's out of place, everything's clean, the dishes are done, there's no dust bunnies anywhere, all the pictures are straight on the walls, everything is great, right? Like I genuinely believe that in my flesh. What if instead of believing that that's where rest is, I actually started to trust that sometimes rest is actually inviting people into my house to mess it up? That's hard for me. But you know what? When I do it, you know what I find? Life. I find life. See, it's just small steps as how we change our hungers. Church, are you hungry for righteousness? Not just what Christ has given to you, but are you hungry for living rightly? Because brothers and sisters, that's where life is. We were made to swim, not to flop around on the beach. And here's the beautiful promise of it all. If you hunger for righteousness, you know what? You will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. What a promise that is. What a promise to be satisfied. Have you ever eaten something and been satisfied? Not full, but but satisfied. There's a big difference, isn't there? We're getting ready to come up on Thanksgiving. All right? It's a hard time for me because I'm like a beluga whale, which is like you just keep eating anything that's in front of you, even though you're no longer hungry. Like they can actually kill themselves, by the way, doing that. All right? Why? Because I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. Like I eat that whole plate of food, but I look at that pie and I'm like, I know I'm bloated and feel like I'm explode, but I'm going after that pie. And not only am I going after that pie, but I'm going after the two other behind it because I got to taste them all. Right, there's a huge difference between being full and being satisfied. Those people in Haiti are full, but they're not satisfied. They're not getting anything out of it that's life-giving to them. And Jesus is calling us. He said, listen, blessed are you. The blessing is in the satisfaction. And what are we satisfied in? First and foremost, brothers and sisters, we are satisfied in the abundant life. Two things. First, this, you are satisfied in the fact that you no longer have to want for righteousness. You don't have to worry about a righteousness that doesn't come from you. You can be free from the weight of having to be good enough in the Lord. If you come into this space right now and you say, man, I feel like I've messed up too many times. I'm too much of a sinner. Surely the blood of Jesus isn't sufficient. Let me give you an analogy. Your sin is like a giant container of water. Okay? The righteousness of Christ is like oil pouring into that vessel. What happens to the oil? It rises to the top. Okay? So when you look into that vessel, all you see is the oil. This is how Christ or God sees you. All he sees is the righteousness of Jesus. It doesn't matter how much water you put into that vessel. What will you always see? Oil on top. This is the glory of the righteousness of Christ. Like it's never insufficient. Rest in that, brothers and sisters. Like, yes, you've hungered for the righteousness of Jesus. If you come in this place discouraged, like you can keep pouring water into that vessel and the righteousness of Christ is always going to be what God sees. Amen? That's a glorious truth. And you will be satisfied. You will never find yourself wanting more righteousness. Second is this. You will find the abundant life that he's intended. You will be satisfied in the life that he's given to us. And I think this is an important thing for us as the church because sometimes being obedient to what God has called us to feels laborsome, doesn't it? And maybe that's just me. Because if you're like me, and as we continue to kind of live in heaven and in the world at the same time, we remember what it was like to eat the fried chicken. And it felt good, and it tasted good, and we hear the temptations, and man, like, just one bite's not gonna hurt you. Like, it's okay. Like, don't you remember how good it was? Don't you remember how good it felt? Don't you remember how wonderful it was? Oh man, it was so good. Why don't you just go fill yourself up with junk food? Why don't you just go try to fill yourself up? There's no real life in here. You've tried this before and it doesn't make you happy. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie from the enemy. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter how contrary it is to your nature, no matter how backwards it feels, no matter how hard it is for you, you will never be satisfied living on the beach when you're a fish. But you will be satisfied when you find life in the ways of Christ. And here's the deal. I want to be honest. If you go back to the junk food, it's going to taste good for a moment. It's going to feel like it fills you up. You might feel the sigh of relief when you take that first drink. You might feel that release of stress when you click on that mouse and look at what's on the screen. Like I said before, you might feel the release of getting your anger out on your spouse, but at the end of the day, what will you be left with? Satisfaction? No. You know it. You know exactly what you're gonna be left with. Longing, unfulfilled promises. But listen, I can tell you this as someone who has walked down this path and I'm nowhere near where I need to be. The more that I trust in Christ, the more that I live the way he has called me to live, the more I find I don't want that stuff because I'm satisfied in Jesus. And I'm satisfied in the way that he's called me to live. That doesn't make it easy. And I have a long ways to grow, as I think we all do. But nonetheless, church, we will be satisfied in the abundant life that God intended us to be. Not only will we be satisfied in the abundant life, but we will also be satisfied in the presence of the Lord. Look at Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I know the danger when we quote a verse like that is for Christians to go, but I haven't tasted and seen that he's good. Like, I still long for all this other stuff. Like, what's wrong with me? What's the matter with me? Or someone who is in this room and doesn't know Jesus, and you're saying, like, I just can't imagine that Jesus tastes as good as drugs or alcohol or money or wealth or comfort or whatever it is, the list goes on. Like, I just can't imagine he could be good enough. I just can't imagine he tastes. The call here is come and try it out. Come and try it out. And just like as you move away from the junk food, you will begin to find yourself feeling better, and you will begin to find life. You'll begin to find satisfaction. But it isn't just in the life you lived. It's in the fact that you have been reunited with the one you were made for. To walk with God, to dwell in the presence of God, to be with him. He wants us to be satisfied. And you will never be satisfied apart from his presence, ever. No matter what you do, you're gonna long. And so come and be satisfied. Come and taste and see that he and he alone is good enough for everything. See, here's the thing. You may lose your house, you may lose your name, you may lose your job. And at the end of the day, none of it will matter because you found the thing that is most satisfying in this world, the presence of God, and the hope that you will walk with him and live with him forever. So church, as we close our time this morning, I want to turn now to a warning, because Luke says this: woe to you who are full. Are you full? I want to speak to you Christians first, believers. Are you full? Do you say, man, I'm so glad that Jesus, you gave me your righteousness, but let me continue to live on the beach, gasping for air, dying? If that's what you're doing, you are walking a dangerous path, because nowhere in Scripture is accepting Jesus only for salvation for sins is sufficient. We are calling him to be Lord of our lives. And so if that's you and you want to say, Jesus, save me, but don't tell me what to do, you're walking a dangerous path. We are to hunger for righteousness. Hunger for it. And my encouragement to you this morning as a church is, if you say, man, I hunger for it, but I don't hunger for it as much as I know I should, then beg him to give you a hunger that is deeper. And confess that to him and let him have it, and then come to this time of communion, brothers and sisters, and be reminded that his grace is sufficient, amen? And rest in it and glory in it and revel in it. If you're not a believer in this room this morning, and you think, man, I'm full. I don't need anything else. My prayer for you is that the Spirit has pricked your conscience a little bit this morning to help you realize that if you declare to the King of Kings, I am full, I need nothing, I don't need righteousness, I don't need anything from you, that if you declare that to him right now, you will find yourself hungry one day. And you will find yourself hungry eternally. And my prayer is this morning that you've gone, I recognize that I am hungry for something. I've just never known what it was before. I'm like the people in Haiti, just eating dirt, trying to fill my stomach because I don't have any other options. You have another option. Christ. Righteousness in Christ. And so if you find yourself hungry for that, come, taste, and see the Lord is good. That's what we call you to this morning. And so this morning at this time, we're gonna come to this table of communion. And it's just that time every week where we come reminded that we need the grace of Christ. We need the mercy of Christ. We're dependent upon the righteousness of Christ. And we look at these elements and we're reminded of the blood that Jesus spilt for us and his broken body broken for us. And we come in communion with God. I'm gonna invite you to do that this morning. And if you want prayer this morning, here in a moment, when we start to gather or scatter around the room to go to the various tables around the space, if you want prayer, you wanna talk with someone about coming to Jesus, you wanna pray with someone because you feel like you don't hunger for righteousness the way you should, pastors, elders, prayer counselors are gonna be available at the front to talk with you. And so as I pray, prayer counselors, pastors, elders, if you'd make your way to the front. Father God, we thank you for this morning. And Father, I thank you for your word that even in my own life has pressed me this week to ask the question, do I hunger for righteousness? Or was I hungry one day and now I feel full? Help me to be hungry. Help us all to be hungry. And Father, may we be satisfied. Satisfied in you, in that hunger. Satisfied in the life that you've designed for us to live as your people. Father, give us life. Father, for those of us who felt like we have not hungered for righteousness, forgive us and thank you that Christ's righteousness is always covering us, no matter how many times we fail. Father, I want to pray for those in this room that don't know you. May you open their hearts to see you. Father, may today be the day where they find food. So Father, we just pray these things. We thank you for this time where we also have the privilege of bringing our tithes and our offerings for the sake of your kingdom. Father, bless them. Continue to let us use them for the glory of your name and for your kingdom. We pray these things in your name, amen. When you feel ready, please come to one of the tables that are scattered around the room and partake in the Lord's Supper. And if you want prayer, we have prayer counselors on either side of the sanctuary to pray with you. I know there are still a few partaking in communion, certainly praying. Would you stand with me? I wanna just invite you that if you want prayer and you feel comfortable coming up at the front, please come up after the services. We'll remain up here present to just pray over you. Again, if this is your first time or you wanna know more about us as a church, I've actually got a little gift for you I'd love to give to you. Right after the service, I will be outside these main doors at our Info Central. We're glad that you're all here with us. I'm running late today, I'm sorry. We just had some of those things we needed to communicate. But if you wanted to talk with the two gentlemen, Asap and Benny, that we prayed over this morning, get a little bit more information from them, they'll be at our missions table. I wanna just dismiss us with this. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. You feel lack? Fear the Lord more. You feel want? Go to him more. He is a well that will not dry up, and you will always find satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone. With that, church, go forth. Be the body of Christ this week. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.